you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
Hi, I'm Jordan Harbour. You're about to hear the continuation of the epic Romano-Saxon War by Josh Hutchins. This is the audio version of our first Twilight Histories book, written by Josh Hutchins. If you're enjoying this series, I highly recommend you pick up the book. And now, on to the story.
Flames glow orange, keeping us warm. Praxos and I stare into the fire. The light casts pale shadows on the walls of Orestes' home. Well, I guess it's my home now. The fire crackles. The chill air is slightly laden with smoke, but we don't dare put out the fire. Not even this late in the spring. I sigh heavily, and lean back in my rickety wooden and leather chair. Praxos looks up at me.
What's your plan now?
I shrug, but I never turn my eyes from the glow of the fire. Well, I guess I have to learn how to be a blacksmith, and fast. Praxos nods and purses his lips. He rubs his hands together and cracks a smile.
Move out of the way, you fool boy, he rattles.
Yeah, and
you swing a hammer like an old crow. Hit that thing like you mean it.
We laugh together. I feel some of the tension drained from my body. I'm actually gonna miss him.
Yes. But you must be cautious. Thorium could very easily have killed you today, too.
Yeah, bastard. What's his deal, anyway? Praxos bumps his eyebrows upward and gives a sympathetic smile.
Well, they did expel all the magistrates, yet he is still here. I imagine there are plenty of folks unhappy he's breathing right now.
I'm starting to think I'm one of them. He nods.
Thorium has his back to a wall. His legitimacy and authority has vanished. And now, with that letter from the Emperor, he has almost none whatsoever. All he has left is the power he can muster with his own will, with his own influence. He can't let somebody like a blacksmith get away with criticizing him. But Orestes was calm and defiant until the very end, wasn't he?
Praxos makes another try at Orestes' voice.
It's all yours now. The house, for what it's worth, my tools, even the rafters.
I grin and repeat.
Even the rafters.
We meet eyes and look up towards the shadowy darkness of the rafters. Well, I guess they are good-looking rafters. Praxos looks back at me.
Yes, but not that good.
What do you mean? He gestures for me to get up out of my chair. Then he stands on it and pokes his head just above the rafters. He looks around for a moment, then gets down and moves the chair across the room. When he reaches above the wooden beams, he carefully pulls down a long cloth and a leather bundle. He steps down and gives me a grave look, and slowly unwraps it. The leather seems soft and pliant as he does, and I can smell the oil on it. Praxos makes one final unwrapping, and the cloth and leather falls to the floor, revealing a hard leather scabbard with long slivers of what looks like onyx and marble inlays. It holds a dark-handled sword. The blade hisses against the leather as he slowly draws it out.
"Whoa," I gasp.
He holds the blade in the firelight. We both lean in and look at it closer. The metal has a strange ripple mark in it, but it's well oiled and obviously sharp. "Crazy old Coot was giving us a clue," I say. Then I look at Praxos. "You figured it out. Keep it. You may need it soon." He squints.
"Oh, sure. I'll just keep it. It's only that beautiful sword hiding in your house. Probably priceless. And its former owner's dying wish was for you to have it. So, no thank you. I don't need any ghosts haunting me right now. Least of all his."
He holds out the blade, giving me an expectant look. I grasp it by the hilt and feel its weight.
"Judging by its length, it may be a cavalry sword. It's just a hair too long to be a sax or a gladius. It's more like a spatha."
"A what? What or a what?" I ask.
"The Saxons use a wicked little short sword called a sax, in addition to their normal long swords. They use it behind a wall of shields. A gladius used to be the standard sword of Roman legion."
He breaks off and gives me a cross look.
"How do you not know what a gladius is, or a spatha?"
"I'm only an apprentice, remember? And a bad one at that, it seems." He shrugs. I make a mental note to pay better attention when I'm back at the Bronislaw Academy in Poland. I take a moment to closely examine the steel. "Those wavy gray lines in the metal. You know what that is?" He shakes his head. "That's where the blacksmith folded the metal when he was making the sword. It's supposed to make the metal stronger. Pattern welding or something. I think it's called Damascus steel."
"Damascus?"
He furrows his brow.
"Damascus is far east. How did it get all the way here?"
"I assume Orestes made it." I flourish the blade in my sword hand, then elegantly flip it over. Praxos squints at me.
"Blacksmith apprentice. Right."
He raises one eyebrow. Before I can respond, there's a dull thump at the door. I scabbard the sword and hand it back to Praxos. He wraps it in the bundle quickly. "Yes?" I ask.
"Open the door. In the name of Thorium, your governor."
Praxos turns to look at me as he goes into the back room. I slowly pull the front door inward and give a slight bow. "Good evening. Please come inside." The man's beady eyes scan the room.
"No, I think I'll stay outside. This cesspit of a home could collapse without warning."
He seems to wipe imaginary dirt from his dark red tunic. Two armed guards stand behind him with torches. I think to myself, if they threw those on the roof, this house would go up in flames like napalm. "Very well," I reply.
"I'm here to inform you that you are to report to the city square at dawn for military service. Thorium's captain of the guard, Maximian, would have you in his war council."
"Me? In a war council?" His flat expression. This guy is a poker master in the making.
"He is in need of an engineer. Someone with a degree of skill and intelligence."
"Oh, okay."
"But as there is nobody fitting that description, you'll have to suffice."
I frown, and he curls his lips into a smile.
"Good night,"
blacksmith apprentice. He and the other two guards leave. I press my hands against my face and rub my eyes as I exhale heavily. You can come out now, Praxos.
What the devil did he tell you?
I shrug. You don't want to know.
Whatever it was, he seemed pleased to say it.
Agreed, I sigh. We should get some sleep. It sounds like we're going to have a long day ahead of us tomorrow. The audience chamber in the governor's mansion is resplendent. Even though it had been built long before Thorium was born, he spared no expense in decorating it. There are statues, vases, frescoes, fine rugs, and soft furniture, along with beautiful silk drapes framing most doorways, and brass and copper vessels atop stone pedestals along the walls. The air smells like spring, with a hint of incense or herb. Maybe it's chamomile or frankincense. I can't tell for sure. With the spring air come spring sounds, mostly chirping from several nearby birds. It all fades into the background when a servant announces,
"The governor's captain of the guard, Marcus Drusus Maximian."
A man wearing a crimson doublet and a wide leather belt enters the room. His quick step and easy motions contrast the whiteness of his hair and the dark circles under his eyes. Several of us stand around a large rectangular table covered in maps as the aged Maximian joins us. He looks around the table and nods at everyone in turn. That is, he does until he gets to me. He frowns.
"And who might you be?"
"He is your new engineer."
A voice echoes off the wall as Thorium sweeps into the room from the adjoining patio.
"Such as it is, you are in need of an engineer, Maximian. This is the town's best blacksmith now. He's the apprentice of the former blacksmith, now headless."
He gives me a dark look. As he walks around me, I smell a sickly sweet aroma.
"I don't know his name. I suppose he never had one." "What should we call you, apprentice? Engineer? What?"
I cough.
"Call me...
Thorium tilts his head.
"A peculiar name. No matter. Call yourself whatever you like. In any case, Maximian, here is your new engineer. Use him wisely."
Thorium walks to the other side of Maximian and points at a location on one of the maps.
"The Saxons landed here near Camulodunum. They then stormed the city. The city guards must have had their gates open, fools. I've told them in the past to be vigilant. Now it seems as if my warnings fell on deaf ears."
"It will take a day or two to sack the city. Then they will do one of two things. Return to Saxony in their boats, or take the road here. No matter what, speed is of the essence,"
Maximian says, pursing his lips in an oddly self-satisfied manner. "Can we get a ship down to the Thames and around the eastern end of the island to scout? Or maybe send out a few riders?" Thorium and Maximian exchange a look. Then Thorium smiles.
Why don't you leave the actual strategy up to Maximian and myself, apprentice?
Oh, okay.
Well, apprentice, we have only 2 galleys. We can possibly man them enough if we send 1 to follow the Saxon ships and 1 to return with information. We can get news quickly. I've already dispatched 3 men on horse. They should be back this evening.
He points to a man in a dark blue tunic with a narrow leather belt.
Gaius, take enough men for 2 ships and do as he suggests.
Before leaving, he snaps a look at Thorium, who seems to nod in hesitant approval.
With the only ships we have gone, we leave the city open to raiding by the river. What's to stop the Saxons from simply rowing upstream and sacking our city?
Thorium says as he crosses his arms and stares at me. Maximian tightens his jaw. We could run a chain across the river, I say.
No. Too much metal and not enough time,
Maximian responds with little emotion. We could build a bridge.
No.
How about a pontoon bridge?
And destroy our ability to receive goods by water? I will not allow that,
Thorium says. We could open a gap twice per day for rivering traffic. Thorium snorts.
That takes men, apprentice. Do you suggest I leave able-bodied men here to move a bunch of boats around instead of bringing them to the fight?
I tip my head from side to side. Well, yes. I think we should keep men here inside the city. They can strengthen the walls while we fight.
Hide my legions inside the city.
Everyone seems unwilling to comment. At length, Maximian speaks.
Governor, the army we've raised is not a legion. It's just an army. Constantine and others, they used up any available men we would have to fight. What's left is, well, we have what's left, and it's no legion. It's barely an army at all. It's just a whisper of a legion.
Just so, Maximian.
Thorium uncrosses his arms and thrusts his pointed finger at the maps. And those heathen Saxons are only a short march away, and they will probably come here next. Unless you check their advance, they will destroy the countryside. How will we feed the city if all the farms are destroyed, and all the livestock killed, and all the farmers murdered? He turns aside and squeezes his lips tightly. None of this would be necessary if it hadn't been for that damn fool messenger.
Governor, the Saxons did not come here at the Emperor's request.
Everyone looks around.
We have but 600 men. Our 600 hastily assembled farmers and stable boys against their 1,000 seasoned and thirsty raiders. Any frontal assault will not go well for us.
Thorium furrows his brow. The birds in the courtyard chirp a little louder. The aroma of incense smells a little stronger, and the sword at my side feels a little heavier.
Are you coward, Maximian? Did I err in summoning you?
Maximian's chest swells.
No, Governor. I'm merely suggesting that this will not be easy. I still intend to attack the Saxons as soon as we can march.
Thorium tilts his head back so he can look down his nose at Maximian.
And when will that be?
Maximian looks at the other men around the table. I can almost hear the tooth-sucking and butt-clenching.
In the morning, Governor,
Maximian answers at length. The answer seems to exhaust him. Do we have to attack them head-on? Aren't there any choke points where we can check their numbers? Why don't we build a small fort here, or here? I point to a pair of small rivers on the maps. These are both along the road between here and Camelodunum. We could send out men on horse to shadow the Saxons, cut off their foraging parties, harass their camps. If they try to advance, we can withdraw to the forts. How many archers do we...
That's your brilliant idea, Prentice. A silly fort, so you can hide behind its walls.
No. Thorim shakes his head.
It's funny how your friend Orestes called me craven yesterday, when all your ideas involve hiding.
Thorim turns to Maximian.
I apologize for this, Maximian. I'll send him away and find you another engineer.
Maximian holds up a hand.
Oh, Governor, I think I may have a use for him.
He turns to me.
It's probably too late to build a fort here.
He points to the more distant river on the map.
But how fast could you build one here?
I squeeze my lips. I can feel Thorium's laser stare on the side of my face. It depends on how many men I have.
100.
Well, if we left right now, we could probably have a very rudimentary fort built there by morning. Probably more like a fortified camp. What would it take, 3 hours to march there?
Yes, about that.
We both nod.
You can't be serious, Thorim says. It's only 100 men, Governor. I know they are a considerable number of our own army, but I think a fort will be helpful. It will create an obstacle for the Saxons to negotiate before they are outside our walls.
He turns to me.
Gather 100 men and leave as soon as you can.
No!
Thorim shifts his glare back and forth between the two of us.
He can have 50, and no more.
Maximian turns to me with a sheepish look.
Take 50 men, and Godspeed, apprentice.
Apprentice, tell me again why this is a good idea. I can no longer feel my hands, nor can I feel my legs. If I dig one more hole or chop one more tree, I think my body will simply fall over dead.
I give him a snort and make one final shake of the wooden platform.
Better to be tired than dead, I reply.
I said I was almost tired and dead, apprentice. Are you going deaf?
The lashings seem to be solid, so I climb the stairs to the top of the platform.
How's the view?
Praxos asks. It's good. I can see all the way to the bridge over the river, and 3 miles in every direction. Probably more once the sky gets brighter. Inside the small hill fort, the 49 men are in high spirits. Thorim had insisted I count myself in the 50 I brought here. I know they're tired. Hell, who wouldn't be? Since yesterday afternoon, we'd pulled off a small miracle. We laid out the fort in a rough oval shape, following the natural contours of the hill where it sat. Then I set half the men to chopping trees for a crude palisade wall, and the other half to digging holes for the timbers to stand in. The wall is thin, but nearly 12 feet tall, and it has 8 raised platforms abutting it from the inside. They can be used to fire arrows from. That's a good thing, since all of my men here carry bows. Of course, the other side of that coin is that none of them have swords, much less know how to use one, with the exception of Praxis. There's a large gap in the wall nearest the road. Men are making a gate of sorts. It looks like a porcupine of wooden spikes. Outside the walls, the ground slopes steeply down to the old road, probably 200 yards away. Praxos leans on his long digging stick.
You know, 500 more men in here will be a tight squeeze.
550 more, you mean? But yeah, not much we can do about that now. The men continue to work by the light of the few fires we lit inside the walls. I look back at the dark blue sky. It's detectably bluer since I looked before. Praxos, tell the men to get all the gear inside the walls.
Aye. Do you want me to have them rest in shifts?
Probably not.
No. We're practically done. They only have a few more timbers to place on the backside, and those will be done in the next 30 minutes. Most of the others are just wrapping things up, gathering firewood and clearing brush. They're tired, apprentice. They need a good warm meal in their bellies. They won't be any good in a fight if they don't have any rest.
I sigh heavily. I know that, Praxos. It's just that, well, I can see the other half of our great army coming back this way across the bridge.
What?
Praxos drops his digging stick and climbs the steps with a tired yet worried pace, all the while muttering under his breath,
"No, no, 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 no."
He stands next to me and looks across the dim distance. He seems to freeze. I can't think of any good reason they'd be coming back at this hour, can you? He shakes his head.
No, I cannot.
I turn to the interior of the fort.
We have company. Hurry with that section of the wall and stand ready.
That's Thorium right there,
Praxis says, as he points towards the men on the horse in the front of the column. I squint my eyes. Why aren't they coming here? We both take a moment to watch them. I mean, they know we're here. They marched right by us yesterday evening. Maximian even stopped in for a drink of water. He told us the Saxons had taken their boats further upriver than we thought, and that they'd marched nearly the entire force this way, so Thorium definitely knows we're here.
Wait, look,
Praxis says, pointing again.
The men on horse are riding ahead. The rest are coming this way.
We watch as the gaggle of men approach. When they are within easy conversation distance, a man at the front looks up and announces,
I am Glycerin, the new commander. The Lord Governor rides on to Lundanium to prepare the defenses. We are in need of water and rest.
Where's Maximian? I call down a response.
Part of him is in this bag.
He holds up a grimy cloth sack.
The rest of him is somewhere between here and Camelodunum.
Praxos and I give each other a sideways look.
Open the gate,
Praxos commands. My eyes want so badly to close. I really could go for a nitrogen-infused cold brew coffee right now. I don't even think the Romans ever invented or discovered coffee in my timeline. God, this place is hell. Praxos and Glycerin both chew on salted pork and watch men inside the fort trying to rest, eat, and tend their wounded. The air is crisp, with just a slight chill. Birds already chirp their songs outside the fort, but the sound is deadened by the dull murmuring of soldiers and the crackle of several dozen cooking fires. "I just can't believe he'd be that stupid," I try to refrain from shouting, somewhat unsuccessfully. Glycerin and Praxos look at each other.
"He's the governor. It's his duty to protect the province. He had to do something," Praxos says.
"Yeah, now he expects me to do it for him." I shake my head. "How is this even happening? Last week ago, I was a simple blacksmith apprentice. A couple months before that, I was a long way from here." Glycerin takes a large draft of water.
"The problem is, nobody has any real fighting experience. Not even you, unless you are called the apprentice for no reason."
He shakes his head.
"Thorium probably has reached Londonium by now, and will be raising another army."
"There's nobody left to raise, Glycerin. After Constantine, Magnus Maximus, Theodosius, and who knows what other Roman prick is denuded the island of men who can hold a sword," I sigh. "Now Thorium squeezes any blood we have left."
"What about him?"
Glycerin points to Praxos.
"He's wearing Roman armor. Surely he has fighting experience."
"I stole the armor,"
Praxos says.
"Right. Did you tell Thorium that lie too?"
Thorium will listen to whatever his itching ears want to hear, and no more. Doesn't matter. Barely anyone has war experience, and Thorium seems to dislike me, so I guess I'm it. Glycerin, what experience do you have?
I'm a merchant.
He looks at Praxos nervously. Praxos beams a glib smile and turns to me.
"He's a pirate."
Glycerin's mouth opens, but no words come out. "So, I'd be having two worthless apprentices." They'd look at me with hooded eyes, and I lean forward.
"Okay, let's figure this out. We have a combined 470 men. Most of them are still healthy enough to fight. Only a handful actually have swords, though. The rest are armed with spears, and my 50 only have short bows and wood axes. Thorium is in Londonium with all the women and children, I guess. The Saxons are 10 miles away, with probably 900 or more troops. Oh, and Maximian is dead." I raise up and look around. "How many horses do we have?"
10,
Glycerin answers. "All right. Are either of you good on a horse?"
"I'm better on a boat. I spent my youth in the Channel,"
Glycerin says, giving Praxos a funny look. Praxos shakes his head.
"Best to put Priam on a horse," he says.
"Priam?"
"He's a young lad from up north. Good on a horse."
"Okay. Priam and 9 others. I want them to ride out to all the farms between here and the Saxons and tell them to evacuate to the north or to the west. If they have other good horses, buy them. When you find the Saxons, send a rider back with word. Tell the farmers to take their food and livestock with them. Anything the Saxons can eat. We don't have to make battle with them. We'll give them a choice. Leave or starve. It'll be just like the Russians did to Napoleon, and again during World War II when they scorched the earth on the invading Germans, or like Sherman did on his march to the sea. Never mind."
"I believe I understand what you are proposing, and it will work,"
Praxos says.
"You run the risk of being a Fabian, however. Fabian successfully kept the legions from being destroyed by Hannibal, but the people hated him. They called him the Delayer. I studied his tactics when I was made centurion.
He smiles, but his eyes are unfocused.
That was a proud day.
She what?
She doesn't matter. Not anymore.
Precto stares at the remaining bit of pork in his hand. Well, regardless of how it looks, we don't have the strength to stand toe-to-toe with the Saxons yet. So once the men have slept for a few more hours, I want them training as a unit. Training to move and fight as a team. Praxos, are you up for that? He smiles.
Ha! In a day, I can try.
And we should dig a well here inside the fort. They may try to cut us off from the river.
A ship!
Someone on the wall calls down to us.
Coming up river! Looks like one we sent from Londonium.
Glycerin, I think I have a job for you. Praxos and I are covered in sweat. Our bare skin glistens in the sunshine.
Again,
he demands. We approach each other, swords drawn and shields up. We crash into each other, shield on shield, trying to get an advantage on the other. We've been at this for over an hour, and my arms are made of rubber. I stumble back a few steps, disengaging. Then I pull my arm from the shield's leather loops and lean it against the palisade wall. Praxo shrugs and does the same.
You know, apprentice, I intend for you to keep that shield with you when we meet the Saxons in the field.
I figured as much. I just want to do something different. Stretch my arms for a bit. When we clash again, it's to the song of iron on iron. Our blades hiss and keen. I make a lunge and he sidesteps and parries my Damascus steel and knees me in the guts. I emit a loud oath just before collapsing to the ground. Listen, friend. I wanted you to show me some tips, not put me in an early grave. If you'd hit me any harder, I'd have lost my breakfast. Praxo smiles.
Again,
he nods. No. No more. I'm done. I take a moment to breathe. So how am I? He places his sword in its scabbard and looks at me.
I think you are one of the greatest swordsmen I've ever met.
Really?
No, not really.
I deflate and frown. Praxos, you're the worst friend I've ever had.
Really?
I sigh. No, not really. But you are the only friend I've trained with using a sword.
None of the others trusted you with a sharp object, I see.
Maybe you are the worst friend I've ever had, I reply. I admire the wavy lines in the steel of my blade as he drinks water from a skin he has sitting nearby.
Apprentice, we could have used those 40 men here. At least we knew we had them. Having 40 men here now is better than having another 100 possible men in the future. And who knows when. I won't question your choice in front of the troops. Not after you've firmly made up your mind. But those 40 men would have been a lot of help here. I hope you know what you're doing.
Yes. And they'd be more mouths to feed, too. Besides, Glycerin was enthused about getting back aboard a boat. How was I supposed to say no to that? I scabbard my sword and put my tunic back on, followed by the belt and sword.
You don't have any armor, do you?
Praxos asks. Only my wits in this shirt. I tug at my tunic.
So, just a shirt.
I roll my eyes at him.
Apprentice!
A voice shouts across the fort, and Praxos and I turn to him.
Yes? I shout back. He simply points out over the palisade wall. He's pointing to the bridge, I mutter. Praxos, get the men up. When I climb the stairs to the platform, I see a vast host of hairy men clad in leather and looking angry. Praxos joins me a few moments later.
Bloody hell, he says as he blows out a large breath. What is your tactical plan?
Parley.
What?
You know, parley. Like in the movies. Forget it. I plan to talk with them first. See where we stand. Gauge their strength, you know. He purses his lips.
A good idea. Then what?
Then we make sure the archers are on the wall in case we have to run like hell.
And the rest of the troops? I can array them loosely on the slope just outside the walls. They'd have the archers for support, and they too could make a hasty retreat.
Let's do it. And Praxos, I grasp his shoulder and look him squarely in the eyes. This is real. I'm counting on you. Counting on you to keep me from doing anything stupid.
Ha! As if God himself could stop that.
I cross the open space between our two forces, with Praxos and Priam at my side. A light breeze causes the trees and grass to sway gently, and the sun turns everything around us a vivid green. The grass swishes under our feet. Approaching us are a group of about 10 bearded men. They wear bulky furs with sword hilts protruding over their shoulders. When we are 10 or so paces from each other, we come to a slow stop. Then we stare at each other.
Aren't you hot and all that?
Praxos asks. One of the men, a smaller man, repeats Praxos' question to the other Saxons. Of course, my chip translates it in real time, so now I expect to hear the entire conversation twice. The man in the middle, slightly larger than average, nods and looks at Praxos.
If you want my coat, come take it, little boy.
Praxos and Priam look at each other, not understanding.
He said you can't have his coat, I whisper.
Praxos squints.
You speak their language?
I nod slightly. Then I look at their translator with a confused look. He clears his throat, then says,
Hey, says, you can't have his coat. What are your names?
I am the captain of the guard for Governor Thorium. This is Praxos, I gesture, and this is Priam. The Saxon man doesn't wait for a translation.
Kindhard!
He thumps his fist against his chest. Then he turns to the others around him and list off several names, which I know I'll never remember. He turns back to me and adjusts his stance.
Why do you hide in that little fort? Why don't you come out here and we'll settle this dispute?
His translator repeats it. A mocking grin spreads across my face, and I reply to him in Latin.
We are outside the little fort. If you are man enough, come take it from us.
He shrugs.
I've already taken many things from you. I've taken lives. I've taken gold and silver.
He holds up a hand covered in rings and bracelets.
I've taken your livestock, your women. Maybe I'll stay and take this entire island.
With that army, you don't have enough men. And when my army is finished with yours, there will be nothing left of your army anyway. So why don't you just get back in your boats and sail east to Saxony, or whatever manure pile you came from. He nods in that false agreement sort of way.
Well, we could do that, but why would we? When there is so much more here to take, and so easily.
If it's so easy, Kindheart, then why are we even talking? He's silent for a while, then turns to one of his men. They exchange sharp whispering, and I catch snippets of their conversation.
Stop talking and attack. Are weak. Rich island. Burn. I'm the leader, not you. Don't be a fool.
He turns to me and frowns.
I do not wish to risk the lives of my men any more than you wish to risk the lives of yours. Perhaps you and I can decide this.
I thought we were deciding it.
No, I mean you and me.
He slowly points at me, pointing at my sword. I turn to Praxos. He wants to fight me. He tries to subdue his shock.
Captain, apprentice, that is probably a less than great idea.
He flares his eyes open. I turn back to Kindheart. And what happens when I win? I can hear Praxos grimace.
That won't happen. You'd have to be very lucky man indeed.
I reply in his own language. Well then, you gotta ask yourself, do you feel lucky, punk? My Damascus steel sword hisses as I ponderously draw it from its stone scabbard. To his credit, Kindheart remains stoic. Not so for the rest of his crew. They are visibly shocked. I flourish the blade and assume a stance. Praxos turns to me and quietly says,
Apprentice, you cannot beat him. This is foolishness. Why throw away your life here? You are far more valuable alive than dead.
Without turning my gaze from Kindheart, I reply, How can I expect the army to fight for me if I won't fight for them?
You couldn't even beat me today, apprentice. How do you expect to beat him?
I don't think he's as good as you, Praxos. He blows air from his cheeks and glares an incredulous face at me.
I can't talk you out of this.
I shake my head slowly.
Then kill him. He's bigger than you and...
Kindheart slides his sword from over his shoulder and grins.
And his sword is much bigger than yours.
Praxos, either give me suggestions or be silent.
My apologies.
He looks at Kindheart.
Wear him out. Let him grow weary of attacking with that greatsword. Then strike.
I nod. It's kind of what I was thinking. I step forward.
Are you ready to meet your god today?
I am your god.
He leaps at me, coming down hard with his blade. I deflect it and step aside. Our two swords ring and reverberate. He slashes and I step back. He swings backhand and I catch the sword with mine. The ring is deafening. Again and again he strikes. I defend. I parry. I dodge. I see Kindheart's face gradually turn to one of annoyance.
Fight, you Roman coward!
One of his men shouts.
Be silent, Hengst,
he replies, never taking his eyes from me. Slash, parry. We circle each other. Swing, clash. I hear him breathing. He lunges and I step aside. But this time I catch his sword with my blade and fling it upward, nearly causing him to lose his grip. I follow with a meaty left hook to the jaw. Spit and blood flies from his face and I step back. His assault intensifies. Slash, lunge, slash, swing.
Kill him, Kindheart. We don't have time for this.
His sword flashes towards my head, and I move to block it. Icy hot pain slices across my face, and I spin away, holding my free hand on my cheek, the iron taste of blood hitting my tongue. I look at Praxos. I'm okay. I think it's just a flesh wound. He nods nervously.
Right. Just a scratch.
I turn and lunge at Kindheart. Slash, thrust, thrust, swing.
Grr!
I scream at him. He trips on a stone and bobbles for just a moment. I kick him in the balls. He grunts and drops to a knee, barely holding his sword. The man he'd been arguing with steps forward and looks at me. He then pulls a short dagger and plunges it into Kindheart's back. Kindheart gasps, drops his sword, and reaches for the blade over his shoulder. The man blasts, "Attack!" There's an eruption of noise. I leap towards the man and stick him in the shoulder. The cut goes deep, but he has enough presence of mind to draw his own sword. I make a few hard swings, but he easily parries them, even injured. He squints, then looks around. Praxos and Priam have already killed the entire Saxon party. Now facing three swords, the man turns and runs.
Back to the fort,
I say. The ever-growing roar of Harry's Saxons reminds us to hurry. I take one step when I see Kindheart trying to push himself off the ground. He makes eye contact with me.
Don't let this be my fate.
Dah! Why am I such a pushover, I say. Praxos, grab his other hand. We begin to drag him along the ground.
Run!
Priam shouts, staying behind us to guard our rear.
This guy is heavy. It must be all that bear fur he's wearing,
Praxos says between breaths.
Will you shut up and pull?
I reply. I hear sword on sword behind us, mixed with grunts from Priam. I turn to look behind.
How close are they?
Too close, I answer. The troops leave a path open to the gate of the fort. Once we pass the first rank, I begin to feel a little safer. I hear a shout overhead as a shower of arrows takes flight. For some reason, the taste of blood hits me again. Another shout overhead greets us as we pass inside the fort. Praxos takes Kindheart aside, and we both sprint to the top of the nearest platform.
Loose!
And another flight of arrows. From the platform, I see the Saxon dead littering the field where the archers continue to pepper them, just beyond the front ranks of our own men.
Orders,
Praxos says. Go to your station. Wait for my signal. He flies down the stairs, just as Priam flies up them.
Priam, thank God. I didn't know you made it.
He squeezes his lips and flares his eyes. I defend you because you fight for us. Then he steps close to me and says in a low voice, but please don't make a habit of rescuing enemy commanders and expecting me to protect the rear. I nod. I'll try to remember that. Are you well enough to continue?
Yes.
Then go to your post. He nods.
Loose!
The men below begin banging their weapons on their shields.
Thump. 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 Thump.
I feel my adrenaline surging. The front row of Saxon warriors finally reaches our own front rank. Our soldiers slowly back towards the fort.
Loose!
The volley tears into the Saxons. Many of them fall, but they don't halt the advance.
iron on iron, iron on shield, screaming, shouting, "Loose!" The Saxons begin to mix in with our own troops, so the archers aim for the Saxons in the rear. The Saxons keep pushing our formation back, closer to the wall. Praxos shouts orders over the din of battle. Then I see him. "Praxos, you crazy bastard!" The men at the back of the formation begin filing into the fort. "Loose!" The Saxons continue to pour forward, pushing our men back. More of our soldiers retreat inside the safety of the palisade walls. Soon, there is only the very front rank still outside, and they begin to peel off the outside edges, until only one person remains outside the gate. His Roman-style helmet glints in the evening sun, and I hear him grunt and shout with each parrying thrust. The Saxons are bunched up behind the front row, and as soon as Praxos kills a man, the blob of Saxons spits out another warrior for him to fight. They come at him in pairs, sometimes trios. "Loose!" A point-blank volley of arrows completely mows down everyone around Praxos, and he takes advantage of the moment to sprint back inside the fort. "Loose!" The archers don't stop. They keep pouring death on the Saxons. Men place the spiked gate in front of the door, and I look down at Praxos. He's doubled over, catching his breath and surrounded by what must be adoring fans, I guess. I turn back to the Saxons outside. "Ladders!" I shout. A few men join us on the platform. They carry long poles with forks on the end. "Fellas, don't just push the ladder away as soon as it hits the wall. Give them a second to climb to the top, then push it." They nod, and right on cue, a ladder makes a loud crack as it hits the wall. Soon, Saxon warriors begin pouring over the walls like rats. "Loose! Loose! 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 Loose!"
If you enjoyed this show, consider picking up a copy of the book on Amazon or through the website at twilighthistories.com. It's our first Twilight Histories book, and Josh has put a huge amount of effort into it, expanding the story and making sure it was edited and beta tested. It's a solid, well-crafted book, and if you enjoy listening to it, why not have it on your shelf? When you purchase it, please give it a generous rating on Amazon. This will help the book get picked up by Amazon search engines, so it will be visible to others. You can find the book on Amazon by running a search for Josh Hutchins or Romano-Saxon War, or by going to the website at twilighthistories.com. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thanks for listening, and take care.